5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, this is not first class.
Circus! Afro Circus! Afro Circus! Afro Polka-Dot! 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 Afro Circus!
Welcome to The Clown Car, a parenting podcast where a mom
and a dad
talk about what it's like being the ringleaders in their own circus.
We are not professionals. The only credentials we have are for kids, so do your research and find what works for you.
Hello, fellow ringleaders. I am your host, Crystal Ricks. And with me is the other host, Barry.
Hello!
Are you making fun of me?
A little bit, you know.
Turd.
Well, you know, it was a pretty excited hello, so...
I'm excited to be here.
I felt like I needed to have an excited hello as well.
Okay.
So, hello.
Hello.
Let's talk about some stories.
Let's do.
So,
this week was crazy.
Pee everywhere. There was pee on the couch. On the kitchen floor.
What? Like, at different times?
No, it was the same day.
Oh.
So I come home.
In the kitchen?
I come home to find that Lacey had fallen asleep on the couch.
Right. I remember that.
And she peed her pants while she was sleeping on the couch. And so I you know, cleaned it up and got the couch cushion off and the cover and everything, started washing it. And then as we're no, you were there. You experienced it. You're maybe just blocking it out. So, right, we had dinner at the table, and right after dinner, you know, some of the kids were still around at the table, and Jackson was still at the table. And all of a sudden, I go around where Jackson's at, and there's this huge puddle right under him. And I'm like, what is that? And he had totally, like, just exploded out of his diaper.
Right.
So much that he leaked.
Pee.
Yeah, he leaked everywhere.
I thought you were talking about Lacey peeing everywhere.
No.
I do remember
that. It was a combined effort. So lots of pee everywhere. That was fun cleaning that up.
Well, speaking of pee.
Ooh.
I had the kids play in the kiddie pool. And while they were all in the pool, I was like, I had made some decorations to hang up in our son's room. So I locked his door and I was hanging up decorations. I was going to surprise him.
Uh-huh.
And they all come pounding on the door, and I was like, just leave me alone, I'm finishing your room. And Grayson's like, but Jackson's peeing on the floor. And so I opened the door, and it wasn't pee. He had pooped in his diaper and still played in the water. So it was soggy.
Mm-hmm.
It was like uber diarrhea. But there was poo trailed down the hallway.
Nice.
All over in the girls' room. Everywhere. And our house still, I can smell it in the girls' room. I think I missed some, but
oh, man.
Everywhere. And it was the nastiest thing I've ever changed.
It's funny. So, we have lots of pee and poo stories.
I have another story.
Oh, man. Well, speaking about peeing and pools, today we went to a pool together as a family. And it got to the point where our little three-year-old was like, I have to pee. I have to potty. And I just looked at her, I'm like, just go.
Ew.
I'm like, just go.
Don't share that story. I didn't know that.
She didn't, though. She went, Jay took her to
that's the one.
That's the one. Jay took her to the potty. And so she didn't pee in the pool. But it got to that point where I was just like, you know what? I'm tired of taking you out of the pool.
Everybody does it.
And I'm like, just pee.
Well.
That's what the chlorine's for.
I took Lacey to the pool the other day. And she grabbed her bum and was like, I have to go potty. And you know, that's desperate when she's holding it in from her bum.
Yeah.
And I was like, quick, get out of the pool. And so she's climbing out of the pool and I look at her and there's bumps in her swimsuit all the way up her back.
Oh.
It looked like she had weird, it was like her spine was sticking out, you know, just.
Gross.
Turned everything. Anywhere.
Gross.
It was nasty. And then we go into the bathroom. Well, and I look around and I'm like, no lifeguard saw that, right? Because then they would have kicked everyone out of the pool.
Yeah.
I mean, I think. It was all contained. I'm not sure what they would have done, but only one of my friends saw it. I was mortified, like, just forget you ever saw that. So we ran to the bathroom, and that was an interesting experience to get that out.
Yeah. Awesome.
And I had to wash her off in the shower and wash out her swimsuit and...
Yep.
That's the story I told you I was going to wait to tell you.
Awesome.
It was disgusting.
Ugh. Well, I didn't hear about the Jackson poo story either.
Oh, I know. I know.
Man.
That was a ton of bad, gross stories.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Everyone.
So, lots of pool stories involving bodily functions. But, so we had mentioned that we purchased the Wii U. And that's been a really big hit in the house.
It has.
And the kids want to play it all the time. But we enjoy playing it with them as well.
We've been playing every night as a family.
Almost every night as a family.
It's been super fun.
Yeah, so we play like for a half an hour as a family, like right before bedtime.
Everyone picks a game and then we turn it off.
Yeah. And everyone is having a blast with that and it's really good.
Yeah, it's been way fun.
Now we just need to expand our video game collection so we can play even more games.
Right, right. Yeah, let's drop another $1 million.
Wow. $1 million?
Feels like it.
Really?
So, that was fun.
Yes.
I can't really transition out of that smoothly.
You don't need to. Walmart. Transition!
Yes, song! Okay, so here's my experience for the week. I had to go to Walmart. But I filled up our car with gas before we got there. So by the time we hit Walmart, Jackson had fallen asleep.
Of course.
It was like a 10-minute trip there. Fell asleep. So I had to wake him up. And immediately he was freaking out. And he was mad because I was trying... He has this obsession with Pokemon cards. Like, he just loves to carry on these... It's pretty much a full deck of cards.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to make him keep him in the car. But he's throwing such a fit. I was like, whatever. Just take him in the store. Mm-hmm. So I set him in the basket. And... started putting in our fresh produce, and he grabbed a banana and wanted to eat it.
Of course.
But that's not something you can open.
No.
And eat it, and so I took the banana away.
This banana does not have a barcode.
I know.
I cannot scan it after you eat it.
Yeah, so I had to take the banana away, and he flips out. And that was the very first thing we put in our cart. So the whole rest of our trip, he is bawling.
Oh,
screaming,
fun.
Bawling. And it was so frustrating. So, needless to say, I made that a really fast trip. But I'm in the checkout line, and he is flipping out, and people from all different aisles keep turning around and glaring at me like, can't you shut that kid up? Like, everybody. I'm not exaggerating.
Uh-huh.
I got at least 4 people turn around and look at me like, worst mom ever. And so, I usually judge people when they do this, but I opened a bag of Cheetos that I had to give to him.
Yeah.
That always bugs me when I see people open up stuff that they haven't paid for.
Yeah, but at least if they pay for it, it's okay.
Yeah, so I'm like, just eat the Cheetos. People are staring. And so, excuse me. And so I hand him the Cheeto, and he looks at it, and he goes, no, and flicks
it. Yeah.
So he throws it on the ground, and then I accidentally drop a couple more on the ground, and I put the Cheetos away, because I'm like, fine, don't eat the Cheetos. And he flips, because now he can't have Cheetos.
Yep.
But he wanted to hold the bag. He didn't want me to hand him the Cheetos.
Of course.
And then, so, I'm holding him, trying to, like, calm down, everyone's staring. It really was, like, stress level in the red. And so, finally, I try to set him down with the kids, because they're all looking at the little toys, you know, that they have in the aisle. And I see him get down on the floor and start eating the Cheetos off the ground. And I was like, I don't even care. Eat the Cheetos.
That's right. As long as you're quiet.
So he's eating the Cheetos. And then I get up to the cashier and the guy goes, how old is he? And I was like, 2. And he goes, terrible 2s. And this guy looks like he's still in high school.
Oh, nice.
Like just this young guy. And he goes, don't worry. It gets better.
Who are you?
I know.
Who are you to tell me it gets better?
I know. I just want to be like, do you have children? But I just said
it. I love it when people say that.
So
I love it.
But really, it was sweet, though. He was really nice. Like, he was really nice. I appreciate that more than like, oh, your kid's a little turd bucket. But it was just so funny to hear him say, I really want to be like, how old are you? You don't even know if it gets better. But,
for all we know, maybe he just looks really young and he does have kids.
That's true.
Sorry, Walmart man.
Teenage boy with kids.
That's possible too.
But, but what's funny is right before I went to Walmart, I was just talking to some friends about this article going around online about mom shaming, where people take pictures of judgy people, like judging moms. They take pictures and then post it. And I was like, all right, people, take your picture. Here's my kid eating Cheetos off the floor with no shoes on.
You should have sat down and ate them with him. Right. Be like, this is how to parent. Yeah, Cheetos off the floor.
Oh, my goodness. I haven't brushed my kid's hair in a week. Like, my girls looked like homeless people. And so, it was awful. I got out of there and I was like, what am I doing? What am I doing?
Being a mother with four kids going to the store.
I know.
But think of it this way. In a month, school's going to start.
And I'll have two kids.
And you only have two kids. Because we'll have two kids in school. That would be so weird.
I know.
It is. And you will be able to go to the store with just two kids.
Anything they bring on will feel like easy peasy.
I know.
So, yeah.
Except it's usually the younger kids that are the problem, though.
Right. Well, they're okay. Well, and that's the thing is Jackson, the one that was being awful at the store, he is a good kid. He's funny and easy.
He was just tired.
And so to see everyone looking at him like, and that guy said, oh, terrible twos. I wanted to be like, no, I promise. He's like the best baby ever. This is weird. This is weird behavior. But I'm not going to start doing that to strangers.
Yeah.
So.
All right. That's it.
Not it.
What? Oh.
What are you doing?
Well, keep going
then. I still have two more. Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Am I done?
So, I've been trying to set up this play date with a kid from school.
Oh, yeah.
But his mom doesn't know me, and she texts me back saying, no offense, but I don't let my kids play at other people's houses that I don't know.
And we admired that.
Yeah. I mean, of course, my pride was a little like, what? I'm such a good person.
I am such a good person.
Who
are you?
You don't know my awesomeness? But after my pride, I got over that. I was like, hey, well, then let's meet. So I got set up with my first blind date with a mother.
It was a play date for you.
So we went to McDonald's and got ice cream. And I did. I felt nervous. Like, I always going on a blind date. Like, I wonder if she'll like me. And I hope this outfit looks okay. Because, I don't know. This mom's, like, super gorgeous. So I really was self-conscious about what I wore. And I actually brushed the girl's hair and made them dress nicely. Usually I let our kids dress themselves and it's always like a rainbow explosion. But this time I dressed them so they matched. And their hair was cute and I looked decent. But it was good. We ended up hitting it off. I think we might go on a second date.
That sounds great.
But the things we go through for our children. What do you go through for your children?
I work all day long.
What? That's for me.
Oh, right. Sorry. The money goes to you, apparently.
So, yep.
Sweet.
Last one. I made this dinner the other night.
Uh-huh.
That, I don't know what was up with you guys, but I thought it was awesome. And no one liked it. Not even Mary.
I liked it.
No, you didn't.
I just didn't love it.
You said, let's not put this on the keep again. Keep, what do we call it? The make again.
The keeper list.
Yeah, is this a keeper?
This is a keeper.
You're like, no. That means you didn't like it. I thought it was delicious.
See, I was just being honest, though.
And I appreciate it. In a really
do you?
Frustrated, sad way.
Because every time you're like, be honest. And then I was honest, and then I get the cold shoulder the rest of the night.
You didn't get cold shoulder.
I'm just joking. I didn't get the cold.
No, that was stress coma.
I didn't, but it just felt like, I felt like I was a bad husband for saying I didn't enjoy the meal.
That's because you are.
Oh, Burn!
Just be glad I made you something. So, anyway, so it was very apparent that no one liked the dinner. Because it started with our five-year-old saying, can I just have cereal? After she took a bite. And then our three-year-old was like, I want cereal. And I will admit, I did not handle it well. Because I was tired and I wanted to ask you to go pick up fast food anyway. But I was like, no, I'll make dinner. And I didn't want to in the first place. So the fact that everyone hated it was a little too much for me at the time.
I did not hate it. I just didn't love it. I ate my whole plate.
You did. And you had leftovers.
And I had leftovers the next day. So, meh.
So, but anyway, so I was a little frustrated. I may or may not have been pouting at the table. It wasn't pouting. It was stress relief.
And then that's why I posted that picture of the Beast screaming. How you feel as a parent when the kids don't like the food. You're like, fine, go ahead and starve!
I know. But, so I look over, and our seven-year-old, Grayson, is just silently bawling at his chair. And I was like, Grayson, what's wrong? And he won't tell me, and I was like, why are you crying? And he just came over to me, and he was like, I just don't like dinner.
He's like, I'm sorry that I don't like dinner.
Yeah, and I was like, what? Why are you crying? And he's like, I just don't want to be mean. And it really touched me that he thought that he was breaking my heart by saying he wanted cereal over my deliciousness.
Well, you did say you were stressed talking to the kids, so.
I was not that bad to the kids. I was just, don't turn this around on me.
What?
But it was so funny. Like, it made me feel, it was one of those moments where I was like, oh, I love being mom. Like, it was so sweet that he was concerned about me.
Yeah.
But also, I will never make that meal again. I think I should just stick to macaroni and cheese.
Oh.
Because everybody likes it, including you.
Well, yeah,
and
but.
And I can just serve some fruit and some vegetables on the side. Healthy. Bam.
Mac and cheese isn't necessarily the most healthy.
That's why it has side dishes.
Oh, right, right.
We're balancing.
Gotcha.
So anyway.
All right.
That's all my stories.
So, to go to the, to kind of segue into the topic tonight, well, mostly Crystal, but, because we had the opportunity to.
It was not an opportunity.
Well, in a way, it's an opportunity.
It was really hard. Anyway,
keep going. One of Grayson's classmates, you know, so Grayson's seven.
Wait, do you want me to tell the story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Fine. You tell the story.
Well, I'm just telling. No, you tell it. Go ahead.
Well, I'll just give the scenario of what happened, then you can explain how you handled the situation. Okay. So, one of Grayson's classmates passed away by being in a car accident. And then we were trying to figure out if we should tell Grayson about it, and then how, if we were going to tell him about it, how would we do it? And so now I will give it over to you, and you can explain how it happened.
How it happened?
Well, how
I talked to him?
How you talked to him.
Well, so we found out about this child passing away like a month ago. 2 months ago.
It was a couple months. It was the week after.
It was during our vacation. It was on the drive. Because remember, I cried on the drive when I got the phone call?
It was from Texas, though. So
Alabama.
Well, I thought it was coming home from Texas. Mm-mm.
It was on the drive to Alabama. That's why we didn't tell him.
Oh, okay. So it was the week after. It was literally a few days after school got out.
Right. So, yeah. So I got a phone call from a friend, another mother in the class, telling me about the incident. And so on our drive to Alabama, I just burst into tears because I loved this kid and it was really hard for me. And so we talked about it and said we didn't want to tell Grayson on the drive because
that'd
be horrible.
We didn't want vacation to be, you know, a traumatic experience.
And then it just hasn't come up since then. And the other day, I don't remember why I thought of it, but I asked the friend who had told me, did you tell your child about this? And she said, well, we talked about it and just felt like we wanted to protect him. And so I kind of was like, yeah, I guess I want to do that too. But he was talking about friends that he's excited to see at school again and pulled out his yearbook. And I had the strongest feeling to tell him just to talk about it. And so I waited till I had the perfect moment where I wouldn't be distracted. It was enough time to talk. And so I just sat him down and I was like, I need to tell you something very sad. And so he was already prepared and he's like, what? And I told him, your friend died this summer from a car accident because of circumstances. And so, and I wasn't sure how he'd react because I wasn't sure if it would sink in, if he knew what I meant. And he just started crying and I kind of explained to him about what happened. And then for us, I threw in our religious beliefs about where he went, where he is now kind of thing, and comforting him that way. And he just sat in my arms and cried. And then we looked at pictures in his yearbook and then he was good.
Yeah.
He cried a few times after that.
After that.
And then today in the car, we turn around and he's crying and he's like, I just thought of so-and-so. Like, yeah. The kid, and was crying again. But, I mean, I feel like, how do you feel about it?
I think he handled it pretty well.
So.
Well, and we've never shied away from talking to our kids about death. Like, for one example, when great-grandpa died, we took them to his viewing and to his funeral. Like, they saw dead great-grandpa in his casket.
Okay, and I was terrified for that. I was terrified for them to see a dead body. But I didn't see one until I was 12.
But they looked at it and they're like, oh, he's dead. They were like really casual about it. And I'm like, no, you know that he's dead.
He's dead, dead.
He's dead, dead. He's not
He's not sitting up.
And they're like, yeah. I'm like, okay. So our kids have.
But I think at that point, the death was a little more abstract.
Yes.
Like, you can look at a person dead and not really feel it, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, plus they didn't know great-grandpa, so it wasn't true. It wasn't like they were close to him or anything.
Yeah, but this kid, it's a little more real, I think. Especially because he's older, he's almost 8, and I really think he understood it this time. But, so, like, on the one hand, we had the person say that they wanted to protect their kids from sad things, and then on our side, was... We want to protect our kids, but we also, I kind of feel like I am protecting my kids by preparing them.
Yeah.
I guess.
Prepping them for just life, you know, because death is a part of life, no matter where it is.
Yeah. Now, I did get an argument with my little brother about how violent video games prepare you for death and destruction, and I don't agree with that.
No, it doesn't.
Just saying.
I'm a gamer, and I don't even agree with that.
That shooting people gives you empathy? I don't think so.
Yeah, he's like, it's like all those first-person shooters give you empathy towards people. I'm like,
it's proven.
I'm like, you're full of it, dude.
Yeah, anyways. So, I'm just tangent. Saying, it's not tangent. I'm saying that I'm not saying violence makes our kids prepared for the real world, but I do think the real world can have violence or sad things that are important for our kids to know.
Yeah, so it led us to think about what other things that we can, you know, what are topics that we can talk to our kids that a lot of people may think are taboo or, you know, all those things.
Yeah, well, and the first thing is, should you talk to your kids about things?
Yeah, and so we found this article, how to talk to your kids about scary news.
Right, like, and this is perfect
just for... Just like things going on in the world and, you know, whether it be the death of someone close or natural disasters or, you know, things like that.
This one started with the Twin Towers.
Well, yeah, the anniversary of.
Right. Like, but it's about that.
Yeah. So this parent had their child ask them about the Twin Towers, you know, being and the terrorist attack and everything. And they were surprised that they knew about it. And then it made them think about, you know, how should we talk to our kids about things of the world, essentially, and potential scary news.
So, most articles we found said, yes, you should talk to your kids about scary things. But, so here, this is is completely biased about talking to it. Like, there's no, you shouldn't talk about it.
Yeah, this but, is, well, and this caters more towards how we feel about it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so we're taking a specific viewpoint on
yeah,
this.
Yeah, we think it is important to tell all your kids about things. And so this article gives you, it lists just a few things, very short, but how to talk to your kids. So the first one is figure out what the real questions your kid is asking, basically.
Yeah.
So, you know, when your child approaches you about a situation, they'll ask you a bunch of different questions, you know, because they maybe they don't understand fully. And so what it is that they say that you should reply to your child by restating what they asked and then tacking on the end of it saying, what do you think? And then when they kind of expound on what they think, then the professionals, you know, all these college professors and stuff like that are saying that, you know, when they elaborate what they think about it, then that may help you understand maybe some underlying questions that the kids actually are really wanting to know.
Yeah, because basically what they're saying is young children, when they see event like big events or anything
they're
sad.
Yeah, they're worried about their and your personal safety.
Yeah, it's only really about them. They might understand that thousands of people are now without homes from an earthquake, but they want to know really what they're asking is, will this happen to us?
Yeah.
Am
I safe?
So he's saying, don't waste time trying to explain, yeah, these people died and these people have no water, when all they want to hear is, chances of us having an earthquake are pretty slim.
And throughout this whole article, they just talk about keep on telling, you know, keep it simple. Short.
Right.
You know, don't lie. Be honest, but keep it simple. Don't elaborate or go into deep detail because that'll just throw kids off.
Well, and I liked with another article you read. We didn't save it because it wasn't that good, but but one part said, when you're talking about death with your children, don't use euphemisms or metaphors like, it's like a flower growing and then it dies, because it's too abstract. Children don't think in abstract ways. Like, it is straightforward, and that's how we need to talk to them.
So the second one is limit screen time to non-news coverage for young children, which is great because we like this because it's talking about how children, whether they be younger or teenagers and so forth, are exposed to a lot of screen time, whether it be on phones, tablets, TV, you know, all those things. And they're saying you don't want your children to get the news from the news, essentially. Mm-hmm. they said that they should hear it from you. That way you can talk to them and help them understand it better, rather than having the news stations kind of, you know, manipulate them or something. Right.
Well, I kind of feel that way about every topic.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Or, anyway, try not to get off on a tangent. But I feel that way, like we've said, if we see something inappropriate or someone says a bad word on TV, we use that as an opportunity. Well, we try to
teach our kids.
Yes. But so our kids have seen scary pictures online. Like they say, you'll see pictures of people screaming or running or crying. And our oldest has seen pictures like that online. Like if he comes in and I'm on Facebook or something, and he'll be like, what is that? And so I definitely agree with
limiting
it.
Yeah. Screen time.
So,
The next one is keep yourself calm. So children feed off of our emotions and our emotional state. And so if we're freaking out, our kids are going to freak out even more than what they may already be doing. So they're saying remain calm, but they also touch on that it is also okay to show emotion. So, you know, if you're going to cry, that's okay. Cry, but let your children know, like, you know, I'm sad, and, you know, even adults cry when they're sad, but, you know what, I'm going to be okay. It's reassuring your kids, so don't go crazy with your emotions, because then your kids are going to be really freaked out and off-put.
Yeah, but on the other hand, seems to be my phrase tonight, like, there was a time when I was very sad, and I cried a lot, and
It's called pregnancy.
No, I was actually going through something really hard.
I'm just joking.
And I did cry a lot when I was pregnant, though. But my 7-year-old, I tried not to cry in front of the kids, but my 7-year-old always happened to find me when I was crying, and he was so comforting. He would always come up to me and give me hugs and rub my back and pat my hand, you know, little sweet things. And I kind of lived for that. So I think...
So now she cries on purpose, just so he... No, I...
Stop ruining this serious thing. I'm just saying that I think kids, they get things better than we think
kids,
they do.
Kids know more, and kids understand things a lot more than we give them credit.
Right. And I really, like, that meant so much to me. It helped me so much. So I personally think it's good to sometimes show that you're sad in front of your kids.
Yeah.
From my experience.
Well, that's what I was saying. It's okay. But then you let your kids know that you're going to be okay. So the next one is follow routines even more strictly than usual.
Which, oh, that was interesting.
Which is interesting, but it makes sense because they're saying that when an event happens that kind of throws everybody off, it's better to stick to your routines because that will get the kids into the same mindset or a better mindset by going through their regular routines.
That kind of sounded gobbledygooky.
Well, why don't you say it better then?
It's just, don't get offended.
I am offended.
I will just read it. Make sure that they have a sense of regularity in their lives. It lets them know that the world will carry on and things will be okay, no matter how scared they might be.
That's what I said.
Okay. Well, follow routines.
Follow your routines more strictly because it will help the kids.
Right. And
get in the better mindset.
And I feel like, to me personally, I don't think we need to tell our kids everything that happens in the world. Because I'm fine. I like to be picky.
There's some things that I think would be still appropriate to shield your kids from. But it's also important to let them know that, you know, things happen. Natural disasters happen.
Right.
People die. You know, it's... And like we said, you know, it's different for each parent. You need to figure out what works for you and your family. But
we're still figuring it
out. Yeah, we're still figuring out. And sometimes it takes a balance to be able to, you know, well, do I tell them about this event or do I tell them, you know, about something else? So
yeah. Try to say follow your heart.
Just trying to figure it out. So, yeah, and that's basically what the article goes over. Just so to recap, figure out the real questions your child has.
Limit screen time to non-news coverage for young children.
Keep yourself calm.
And follow routines even more strictly than usual. So let us know if you've had any experiences talking to your kids, especially with there's a lot of stuff that's been going on lately.
Yeah.
I'm interested to know if you've talked to your kids about it.
Yeah.
We haven't.
And let us know if you've had the maybe like the death talk. About
the death talk,
a family member or a friend that maybe was close to your child that had passed away, and how you handled the situation. We kind of let you know how we did it, and it turned
out everyone's different.
It turned out to work well for us. But yeah, we'd love to hear from you, and don't forget to comment. We'd love to chat.
So thank you for listening to the Clown Car. Parenting is hard, and we believe you should get a gold star just for trying.
Just remember, our ways are not the only way. Find what works for you. You are doing a good job.
You can follow us and share your thoughts on Facebook and Twitter at The Clown Car, and email us at theclowncarshow@gmail.com. Make sure you subscribe.
Rate.
And review.
Review.
Our show on iTunes. Until next time.
Enjoy your circus. You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.